Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Roggy Horner. She is the futures and currency expert over at Simpler Trading. Roggy, as you and I were chatting off mic, we were talking about the craziness that entered the U.S. equity markets at the tail end of the year and the craziness that even continued last week in a shortened trading week with some huge swings coming after Christmas. One thing that you mentioned to me, though, is that right now you're taking this opportunity on some of these pops to short some of these sectors. Can you share with us what sectors you are shorting maybe more aggressively and why this is your strategy right now?
Sure. Great to be back. Happy New Year, everybody. And absolutely, if we take a look at energies, consumer discretionary, and financial, and these would be markets that are already heading lower. They're markets that we see sort of the rotation out of. I think we're going to hear a lot more about rotation out of cyclical and into secular names, see rotation out of the high beta, high momentum names into low beta names. And so I'm just basically, you know, avoiding financials, avoiding tech, and energy have got to be another market. I mean, we've seen what's happened to crude despite maybe a $4 or $5 bounce here in the last week or so. But I still think we're looking at really solid downtrends there. So that's where I'm taking advantage of the organization to the downside.
Now, we had that one big day after Christmas where the Dow was up about 1,000 points. Do you think that that is showing us that people are still sitting on the sideline with some money willing to purchase some of these dips? Or do you think a lot of that was even computer trading? And right now, quite frankly, investors are more scared than they are looking at this as a buy the dip opportunity.
Sure. I think capitulation is still not quite here. And you know, as far as the bullishness goes and buyers, there's such a bullish bias in equities anyway. So obviously, in the context of an overall downtrend, these quick bear market rallies, they're going to be violent, like we saw with that 1,000-point rally. They're going to be swift because with a bullish bias, the moment it seems like there might be a bottom in, you're going to see investors and longer-term position traders just barrel on into the market. So I think that 1,000-point move, while certainly historic and not the norm in terms of point movement, is absolutely the norm in terms of sort of volatility expectations, again, for bear market bounces. I think a lot of what we saw at the end of the year was simply rebalancing. You know, if you're managing a pension or a large sum of money and you're looking at your asset blend as you wind down 2018, you know, you are taking a good hard look at tech and financials and industrials and basic materials and probably saying, look, I've got to be in more bond proxies. I've got to be in dollar and gold and utilities and staples. And even though everything is kind of heading lower as the tide goes out, there are going to be those, relatively speaking, outperformers. And I think that asset blend had to change as we saw these pensions rebalance.
So it really is just a function of rebalancing into somewhat safer assets, a little bit less into the risk on assets. But is that healthy? Is that shedding a good positive light for the markets if we are getting this rebalancing now? I know it's not healthy to just have some sectors, especially high-flying stocks, continue higher. But overall, what I'm hearing from you and a number of our other commentators is that now is the time for safety.
Absolutely. One of the things I love about our conversations and the fact that we've been talking about every other week for the better part of the last, oh gosh, 4 or 5 months is, you know, I think about the way even our conversations have shifted from even as far back as September when we were both talking to the listeners saying, look, you know, I know that high beta, high momo names are doing, generally speaking, very, very well. But, you know, start thinking about putting a little bit more interest, a little bit more capital, maybe into discretionary, into utilities, and getting away from tech and all that high beta. So that's been a transition. I think the rebalancing, also the function of the fact that we saw, what, almost 9, 10, 11 quarters, I can't remember off the top of my head, maybe it was 9 or 10 quarters in a row of GDP growth, of inflation upticks. And this is the first time in a handful of years that I think these portfolio managers have to take a really good look at what's happening economically, and they have to make significant changes, changes they probably haven't had to make in the better part of at least 2 or 3 years.
Do you think these significant changes, these rebalancing moves, are for the most part done, or do you think there's still a lot more ahead of us?
I think by year end, the bulk of it has to be done, you know, based upon just the end of the week, the end of the year, the end of the month, the end of the quarter, that kind of psychology. But I think the volatility is going to remain. And that's what we're seeing as we're starting off the new year. So I think, yes, I think that's in our rearview mirror, but I don't think the volatility is.
So any credence to the fact that 2018 was the worst year for U.S. equity markets since 2008?
You know, I think it's the worst year. And I've been really, even for myself, trying to check my language, good, bad, worst, best. It was, I think for investors, it was tough. And obviously when you see the market shed the kind of points that we shed, but I mean, as we've always said, there's always opportunity somewhere. I think for folks who have been long bonds, I think for folks who have been long US dollars, who've been building a position in gold, it was actually a terrific second half of the year. And so as far as the worst year, I think this correction that we're seeing, this pullback that we're seeing, is a continued function of what you and I have talked about for many months. The FOMC is withdrawing liquidity from the system, not just the U.S., but globally. We saw this weakness first hit emerging markets. And again, as the FOMC continues to withdraw liquidity, unwinding that balance sheet, we're seeing that then come into the U.S. markets. And that's usually how it goes. You know, we see first emerging markets get hit, dollar continues to rise, and eventually the U.S. markets get hit too, usually after a pretty accelerated move to the upside as all those U.S. dollars come back to the U.S., get thrown into the equities markets before the U.S. market rolls over. And that rhythm has been something we've seen in many a rolling top. And I think this is just pretty much history repeating itself, although obviously with the printing we've seen from the U.S., you know, of U.S. dollars from the FOMC, it's probably more exaggerated, but I think the actual rhythm is there.
That is funny because that's exactly what we saw this year. Well, last year, I should say, 2018, is the dollar moved to higher and higher highs on the back of weakness in emerging markets, and the U.S. equity markets had a choppy year, but still did reach new all-time highs throughout the year, and then a huge sell-off at the end of the year. What is kind of the big picture that you're looking at for 2019? Is it this continued shift into these safer assets and more updating on what the Fed and other central banks are going to do, or what else are you watching?
I'm definitely watching central banks now, because there's 3 points that I watch. You know, basically, as 20 years of Forex trading has really hammered this into me. I look at GDP, I look at inflation, and look at central bank policy for every economy that I want to invest or trade. And, you know, I think the growth and the inflation story by way of PCE, CPI data, and GDP is pretty much in place. Slowing growth from a quarter over quarter for the GDP, downticks in inflation, as we've seen on the CPI. And so now we're in the very early stages of what I call a D economy. And a D stage economy basically is that slowing inflation, slowing growth. And there's 3 little pieces of it. One is the early stage of the central bank, which is typically hawkish, moving then to neutral, moving then finally to dovish. And seeing how the central bank is still clinging to being somewhat stubbornly hawkish, we're not even in a mature D stage yet. We'll know we're in a mature D stage and that we could be seeing equities leveling off and rising by the time the FOMC goes dovish. And I think that's where, you know, I'm waiting for those shifts now, watching very closely the ECB and the FOMC for what they want to do next.
Yeah, the central banks just continue to have still a very heavy hand in the markets. And what changed so drastically at the end of last year was now this belief that the Fed is going to be pausing sooner rather than later. And then who knows, maybe even getting dovish on the back end. But again, also pay attention to what they're doing to their balance sheet, because as much as they, or at least Powell, tried to say that that was almost on autopilot. We heard some contrary comments from John Williams later in that year. So big picture, still kind of the main stories that we're following. But now what's so different is these central banks and some of the stories that drove the markets are turning. So now they're just going in the opposite direction. Raghi, great chatting with you. Thanks again for sharing some of your thoughts, and I look forward to continuing our discussions in 2019.
It's going to be an important one. Thank you, Clay.